with people who love God. Always an honour to be with people who know how to enter God's presence, because without His presence, we're just so much worse, aren't we? This morning, I just have this simple thought for you. You'll have to forgive me, I'm a simple man, so everything's kept simple. That's all right. So we looked at James chapter 5 this morning, and James chapter 5, and just verse 16, there's a lot of stuff that James is dealing with here about prayer, prayer in church, leaders praying, people who need prayer because of sickness. But just in chapter 16, it says this, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Well, that's heavy stuff, isn't it? Confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I love that phrase. Do you want to change the world this morning? Yeah. Yeah, so a couple of people want to change. That's good. I don't know about you. Do you read the newspapers? I don't know if you actually bothered to look at what's going on in the world this morning. I was looking. I tried to avoid it on Sunday, but I can't help myself. And I was looking at some newscast this morning. I was looking at the European news. And I was seeing how the Russian president has changed his policy. And he is going to be selling state-of-the-art advanced weaponry to Iran in order to stop planes from flying over Iran. And that's a huge thing. That's a total reaction by the Russians to what the Americans are doing. And the Americans, as ever, are trying to tell the Russians what they can and cannot do. They are in Ukraine. It's not yours, leave it alone. And so you have this huge mess going on around the world. That's just the big picture. I mean, the little stuff is even more frightening. But I don't know about you, but I'd say it's interesting what's going on in the world. And the more I look at what's going on in the world, I start to get quite worried. I start to get quite upset. I hear that ISIS have just taken the largest Christian city in Iraq. And the minute they arrived, they started killing people in the cemetery. And I start thinking, you know, this is just crazy. I come from a major city up north, and growing up, we had every kind of people. They were Christians, they were atheists, they were Mormons, they were Jehovah's Witnesses, they were Muslims, they were Buddhists, they were Sikhs. There was everyone you just put up with it for. But in this day and age, it seems that Islam is having such a dark hand over our nation, and it really concerns me as to what the future has. In fact, it makes me quite angry sometimes. I'm quite angry. I got to be a clever, and I can say, you know, do I not hate those who hate you or want their perfect hatred? Well, that's just a cheap shot at my entire field, especially in my heart. And what I begin to hear God say to me, and what I want to share with you this morning, is this, that God doesn't put us in a position where we can look at what's going on and be telling God. God doesn't put us in a position where we could know what's going on around the world and start to get worried. Because God is in control. And again, I mean, that's God is in control. And then I also realize that, you know, we get involved in people. How many people have got friends? Are you doing well? How many people have all got friends? Okay, how many people have only got one friend? I'll tell you about this. Well, you know, we learn stuff about each other, don't we? Yeah? We're not so good at confessing to one another. Sometimes we'll share something with a close confidant. We'll tell somebody, hey, I need to share this with you. But the truth is mostly, you know, we don't really share stuff with each other, we just find out about each other. I love Facebook. I don't put anything on Facebook, just the critical news. But I love Facebook. I find out more about my congregation's life on Facebook than I do any other way. Something or seen something about somebody else in the last month. Yeah. Come on, we'll be off of it. How many people have heard something and seen something, you know, Place that you need to just leave all the immediate prayers behind
2 years, I have had to deal with 4 people who have gone through cancer. I've been absolutely terrible. Sitting with it. There's no matter. There's no contact on the work. There's not. There's not. Well, you'll get over this. You just have to walk the walk with them. Thank you. small prayer, the world changed. The effective goal of prayers, life. I'll tell you, wherever you're sat, you walk in your relationship with God, you are the ultimate. You are the life of God. Not because you're going to run to someone and give them this massive exegesis of everything in the Bible that you want, but because you've gone on your knees and you cried for someone else, because you've gone on your knees and you're serious with God for someone else, you change their life and they'll never really understand until eternity just what you did for them. Had a friend, she was telling her, and she was telling me that she, her husband became the leader of the church at home, and her husband's relatives, his dads were the pianist and the organist, and they basically run the church for a long time. You know the picture? And she began to realize that when she started to do things, that this relative actually had a lot of animosity towards her. That she could have took anything done in the church, but every time she did, this relative would come and undermine her and come and do things to stop her. And she got so angry about it until she went to God. I'm going to pray that you change her. And she began to pray, she began to pray, she began to plead to God, she began to reach to God, she began to say, God, please change this church, I don't want to bear it anymore. They're doing my enemy in church. Spiritual part. I've been in the church for 20 years before getting my heart in it.
Jesus. And someone shouts, "You're brainwashing, Mark," and that
things, they're not prayer preparation. We turn up, we just want to do it, but they're being not prayer. Prayer has to come before evangelism, because prayer is where we connect with God. We make sure we're doing what God wants us to do, we're doing it the way God wants us to do it, and then we have God's blessing to do it. That's when we can begin to start seeing. Because I hear a lot of Americanism when they start talking about, in our prayer life, making proclamations and declarations. But proclamations and declarations, that's not prayer. That's using our authority as children of God. And we can do it. We can make proclamations. We can make proclamations that God will save 1,000 people. You know, you've got to be realistic. You start being about that by a week or by a week or, you know, a year, 5 weeks, decade. Let's say decade. Let's be generous to our faith. I'm going to say, proclamation and declarations. You've got the faith to believe what we're saying. Jesus said, that's what we want to do. Do you know what? When I read that, I don't believe it. The person next to me said, there's not it. There's not it. I want to tell you, there's not it. There's not it. Because all things are possible to those. I don't believe the church in the 21st century has even begun to grasp that thought to its fullest implication. There is not it in that statement. All things are possible in which we exist. Well, does that mean? Yes. Well, what about? Yes. Well, maybe no. Don't mean it. If you believe, it's yours. The only thing that we have, James said a little bit earlier, that you ask and you do not have because you ask amiss. When we start asking for our own selfish desire, what's the lesson? If I would not admit that you are the Lord will not be. We have looking for the well-being of others. There's three things I can pray for. I can look for God's will. Everything that God writes in this word that He says you want to do, I can ask God to do it. And you know what? I know it's what He wants. Because God never said anything He doesn't do. Secondly, I can ask for the well-being of other people. That's all. I can ask for the well-being of other people. God will do it. Do you know what's beautiful? You don't have to tell God how and where and when God really moves. God helps also. So on the finance. You know, heal their sickness. Don't tell me how. God's big enough to have a bigger imagination. You know, that's like a God, then you imagine it for yourself. You pray about it. But I just trust it. So I can pray for God's word. I can pray for other people. And you know, the one thing I'm allowed to ask for myself. If you don't allow to ask for yourself in prayer, then you don't ask. You are allowed to ask for yourself in prayer. You don't allow to ask your needs. Because James is in Jehovah Jireh. All your needs is now strong. You can ask God for your needs. God will never fail you. God will never fail you. And that's one of the four things that people understand when you walk with God and you pray with God. God will we can reach out for things that God doesn't want us to have. Why does God take ownership of the issue. Well, God, then you deal with me back, you know, £100,000 of, yeah, but I don't want you to be married now. I'm 92, it's 95, I'm about to marry. You forget who it is you're talking about. God knows what is best for us. And when our prayers reflect that's when our prayers see the most success. You get the third prayer. I was a place on the place called Malthus. I tell you, they were sat there, hungry, waiting.